That's the opening of The Chairman Dances by John Adams, recorded by the San Francisco Symphony, conducted by Ado de Waart. The Dutch-born conductor earned a reputation as a 20th-century music specialist when he conducted the San Francisco Symphony from 1977 to 1985. Currently, de Waart is music director of the Minnesota Orchestra. He divides his time between Minneapolis and Amsterdam, where he's artistic director of the Dutch Radio Orchestra. As a music student in Amsterdam, de Waart studied oboe, but found conducting better suited his personality.
I have always liked the total involvement. There must be a bossy side to me that it is nicer to tell people what to do than being told what to do. I'm sure that has something to do with it. I was always giving my opinions about everything asked or unasked, and I think as a conductor you have to have some of that. Although in personal life that can be a real drag for the people around you. You just need to be able to have strong opinions and being willing to stand for them and get them knocked and still fight for them, which was one of the reasons why my conducting teacher took me. He said, yeah, it will be good for your character. You will finally understand how hard it is to conduct, since you have always so much criticism.
Was there one experience that really showed you how hard it was going to be?
I think once I started getting mixed reviews, you know, you go do a concert 1 week and they would say that is terrific, and the next week they would say this was no good at all. That was hard to take, to the public bashing that you get, and that took me many years to even get used to. And maybe one never gets totally used to being judged in public all the time, especially by people that you not always have a lot of respect for.
Mm-hmm.
And the personal... one has to learn in life, if you're not gifted with a great deal of personal charm. And you know, I've always been a very direct person who said what he felt. And that coming from a 25-year-old whippersnapper to older musicians is not going to make life easy for you. And
yeah.
I must say, I ran into quite a lot of bad stuff in the beginning. You know, misunderstandings, things that I said and I didn't mean to say. So I had to, several times in Rotterdam, my first orchestra, which I went to when I was, I think, how old was I, 26 or so, there have been 4 or 5 occasions where I apologized to the orchestra, not pressed by them, thank God, out of my own feeling that I had gone too far.
After establishing yourself in the Netherlands, you came fairly regularly to America to conduct. In 1975, you became principal guest conductor of the San Francisco Orchestra. Then you took over the orchestra in 1977. And I'm wondering what it was like to adjust to conducting in America. Did you find that the conductor was expected to have a different relationship to the players than what you were used to in the Netherlands?
Yeah, that's a very good point, because it has a lot to do with the way American orchestras are run, which to this day I have sometimes a hard time dealing with. And what I mean is that I come really out of a culture where the orchestra itself is a very strong, sometimes runs itself basically, or at least is very heavily heard in every big decision. They have representation on the board. Board is only 5 to 7 or maybe 9 people at the most, not these 60, 70, 80 people boards that you have in America, and where the orchestra and management are actually seen as two totally contrary bodies that fire salvos over the continental divide. You know, it's just, it was different. And I must say, even though I've learned to deal with it, it is not natural for me to be that far removed in many ways from what actually make all of us be there, and that is the orchestra.
I think there's a lot of competition between orchestras in the United States. You know, who's going to get the big recording contract? Who's going to get the PBS series or the NPR series? Was there the same kind of competition in the Netherlands, or do you think that the States is more competitive between orchestras?
Oh, I think it is more competitive because the stakes are bigger. When you're all subsidized, you don't get this cutting edge of trying to sneak things away from under each other's noses. While here, where you really have to rely on selling tickets, this whole image thing, how are we perceived, how good are we? Are we perceived as being as good as we really are, and is our marketing doing well? You have to be much sharper, and you know, it brings non-artistic things to bear. I think a big danger threatening the whole American art scene, but particularly symphony orchestras, is that marketing departments, if we don't watch out, will dictate what we will play, and the programming will be dictated by how many people will we get into the hall, which will be tremendously impoverishing, because we know that if you play Beethoven 5 and 1812 and all that sort of stuff, you will have full halls. And if you play Sessions and Carter and other people, you will have 500-600 people there. And the more people you get, the more you will get unsophisticated people that had not normally thought of coming into the concert hall. And so in some ways we get them in. They are not the people that will take kindly to even Bartok and Stravinsky, let alone Schoenberg and Webern. And so in order to get them in, you will also have to do away with your adventurous programming.
I think audiences bring a lot of preconceptions and expectations to orchestral performances. Are there changes that you could make, if you could basically redesign our conception of an orchestra from scratch?
I think we have become too much institutionalized. We have become too little adventurous, and we have become too much set in ways that maybe are not all that good for the music. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? Why are we playing Beethoven? What did it mean at that time when Beethoven's Fifth first rolled through that hall? People must have jolted in their seats. We don't have that surprise anymore, so we must, in the way we play it, we must try and think back how it was. This might mean that we behave ourselves a little different, that it is, maybe it wasn't so bad that Toscanini sometimes yelled. Maybe we only have to get used to that orchestra musicians will yell back, and that necessarily is not all that bad.
For years, you were thought of as one of the new young rising conductors to watch out for. And now you're approaching middle age. And I was wondering if you approach your scores differently than you did when you were younger.
Yeah, I think I have seen myself gone through two phases very much. At the very beginning, this wonderment and this wonderful adventure trip through a country and through places that I'd never seen before, that I just knew existed. However, I did them with a breakneck speed, and very seldom got a chance to really look at the pieces, because I did so many of them. It's like some American tourist doing Europe in 6 days and saying, oh, I've seen Florence and Rome and all these cities, and well, they saw the airports. And I think I sometimes felt that I only saw the airports. And then there came a phase where I was got the responsibility for first the Rotterdam Philharmonic and then San Francisco, and felt I've always been someone who is very interested in the intricacies of playing, of the fundamentals of music making, not just seeing making music as a state of mind, but as a craft. And I became very much obsessed with that, and the music suffered in many ways. I think these last couple of years, more and more, there is happening some sort of an amalgamation of everything. Everything is, I am now in the happy circumstance that I am music director of a very good orchestra, which can play terrific technically and musically, and I also seem to be more able to both in rehearsal work on the technical side and the musical side, and in many ways this is almost the most exciting time that I've had as a music director, and I hope it will last.